and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am very excited because today I am joined by Sarah.
I am very excited as well.
Oh, good.
Yay.
We are going to be talking about some social media news stories. The first one, I have to say, I am not excited by, mostly because of the sort of debate that has come up related to this. It's kind of funny, I guess, but also just bad behavior. That's kind of, I guess, sort of the theme of the show, just bad decisions.
Oh, dear.
Like, why'd you have to post this?
Yeah,
why did you put it?
I think that a lot.
I mean, I guess it is social media, so there's a lot of, why did you do this?
Yeah.
Not everyone needed to know, but now we do.
Now we do.
So there's no going back. So this first story is about Miley Cyrus's mother, who is Trish Cyrus, and a photo that Trish has Tish Cyrus, no R, and something that was posted on social media about Tish Cyrus has gotten sort of like sparked a debate about white privilege related to very large amounts of marijuana.
I saw this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Not a great choice to post. So, Miley Cyrus' mom has inadvertently sparked this debate, and it happened after Tish posted a photo of her, or, well, I guess she didn't post it, but it's a photo of her posing in front of what appears to be several massive bags of marijuana, like the size of her head.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah. It started when her husband, Billy Ray Cyrus, I don't know if he took the photo, it's not really clear, but he posted the photo to Twitter and Instagram. It showed her, it kind of looks like a safe, sort of, and it has like a refrigerator-sized safe, kind of.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, it has like 16 bags of pot in it. Again, roughly like the size of her head. And then the caption written by Billy Ray Cyrus says, "Yes, like I said yesterday, Tish Cyrus, how the times they are a-changing. Hashtag crazy mama." Yeah, it's not even a super clever caption.
Well, no.
But, you know. The Cyrus family, they have been pretty open about their recreational marijuana use in the past. Miley told The Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon that she's an avid user. Still, it was kind of weird to see, like, this post, you know, like...
Yeah.
Just so much pot in one photo.
Yeah.
Tish responded. She said, "First of all, my husband, Billy Ray Cyrus, is insane. Second, this picture is also insane. And third, this is not my weed or my house." Then she goes, "Ha ha ha. But if it was, that would be amazing for so many reasons."
Jeez.
Kind of saving yourself. Sort of.
Sort of. Calling your husband insane.
Yeah. I mean, sort of trying.
Yeah.
Halfway.
Interesting.
Yeah, the explanation didn't really satisfy a lot of people, as you can imagine. People took to the comments to argue that people of color are often jailed for having small amounts of pot on them, while the celebrity family gets to pose with a large amount of pot, really with no consequences.
Yeah, the Twitter comments were... some of them were very on point. Some of them were, you know, not so on point. But
yeah. Let me read some of those comments. One of them said, "Now speak out about all of the people, mostly black and brown, sitting in prison for possessing or selling less than one of these bags." Another one said, I get people are excited that it's being decriminalized, but so many people are still incarcerated and families torn apart for a small portion of what this locker contains. Mm-hmm. Hashtag think before you tweet. Yeah. I mean, yep. Really, we should all take that to heart.
think before we tweet. Yeah.
Please do. Also, it is worth noting that recreational marijuana is legal in California, which is where the Cyrus family spends a lot of their time. They also live in Nashville. I guess they have an estate there. It's unclear where the photo was taken, and California's weed laws provide for a limited amount that any private citizen can possess at a given time,
That's the limited amount that was in there.
No, definitely the amount of pot that was in the photo would for sure exceed that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really not clear if, like, the amount of pot belongs to, like, a private citizen or, like, a dispensary. I mean, I would assume a dispensary because it's so much, but, you know, who knows? It's, again, they're like bags the size of her head. You should really be careful when you're posting that, especially when you're famous. Like, so many people are going to see that.
Right.
And just come after you. Okay.
Sigh.
I know. Unfortunately, we're not out of the woods yet. We're going to another story about bad decisions.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, you did say it was a theme, I was forewarned.
Okay, good, good. I hope you're all ready. The next story is about the jurors, which were involved in the El Chapo case.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
Okay.
So, a member of the federal jury that had convicted the Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman has reportedly accused at least five fellow jurors that followed media coverage of the proceedings. Apparently, the jurors violated the judge's instructions. What the instructions were, I believe, was to abstain from social media related to the case.
Oh, dear.
And
this isn't going to result in a mistrial or anything, is it?
Well, we'll see.
Okay. All right.
Just to really set us off on a pleasant course.
Yeah.
The unidentified juror told news outlets that fellow jurors apparently checked Twitter and other media outlets for reports on the trial.
Oh, jeez.
Which, I mean, really? You're gonna put the case in jeopardy? Like, that type of case?
Yeah,
really?
A major case.
I know. The report could prompt defense motions for a new trial.
Mm.
The law office of Eduardo Bellarezo, who is a member of Guzman's defense team, he tweeted, fair trial, ? And hashtag free Chapo. Also interesting that the juror is being in trouble for social media and then the lawyer is tweeting.
Yeah, I was going to.
It's kind of funny.
The world we live in.
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't have done it, but it's pretty funny. I mean, he can use Twitter if he wants. It is the irony.
No, yeah, it is.
Also, this lawyer, the law office has also said, if it's true, it could make it clear that, like, Joaquin didn't get a fair trial, which is concerning. Because if they're claiming that the use of social media means that El Chapo did not get a fair trial, then that will probably go into a mistrial.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Also, another lawyer on Guzman's team said the defense team was deeply concerned that the jury might have ignored the district judge, who is Brian Cogan's, warnings about social media. Again, why would you do this? This is a quote. More disturbing is the revelation that the jury may have lied to the court and had seen some deeply prejudicial, uncorroborated, and inadmissible allegations against Mr. Guzman on the eve of the beginning of jury deliberations. Not good.
No.
I believe that is from a lawyer on Guzman's team. Also, they continued, above all, Joaquin Guzman deserved a fair trial. Which, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The justice system.
Yes, he did. But also, so many things we could say about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it's El Chapo. famous drug lord. the defense team is apparently reviewing the matter, and they will make appropriate motions as they see fit. The jury did convict Guzman recently of all 10 criminal counts against him, including involvement in a continuing criminal enterprise, drug trafficking, money laundering, and using a weapon in conjunction with drug dealing. Prosecutors said that
those seem so mild.
I know. I know. Prosecutors said that the cartel leader smuggled tons of cocaine and other drugs into the United States. I'm surprised not murder.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, probably his defense team did a good job and made sure that wasn't a part of the convictions against him.
Alleged murder.
Alleged. Right. Let me put that on record. Yeah. Alleged murder in case anyone's coming after me.
In case anybody is listening to this podcast involving El Chapo's.
Yeah. Right. Whatever. Anyone who's part of El Chapo's gang who probably listens to our podcast come after us.
Good taste, by the way.
Yeah. Good choice. I guess.
I don't know.
Except you beat a drug gang. So I question your
other
methods.
Choices aren't good. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, this is the only good one. Okay, continuing. Also, the conviction means that the defendant, Guzman, who has gained international notoriety from two Mexican prison escapes, he faces life imprisonment in the United States. He also has had very elaborate prison escapes. Like, I saw a special, I'm sure a lot of people who have followed the trial or know about El Chapo know this, but he had, like, secret passageways under, like, a bathtub or underneath, like, stairs, like speakeasy level of escapes, which is very strange. But yeah, he also escaped two prisons.
He should have been on the show Prison Break.
I know. Well, then they would have known his methods. if he does go to jail... he is 61, by the way. He would be sent to the so-called Alcatraz of the Rockies, which is the supermax federal prison in Florence, Colorado. The high-security inmates include the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, Boston Marathoner... okay, I'm going to try. Dazoker Sar Naive, the September 11th conspirator Zacharias... Musawi, and Oklahoma City bombing accomplice Terry Nicholas. I apologize if I said any of those names wrong. But they are all at that Supermax prison. If Guzman went, he would be at the same prison as them. And
I hope they keep them well separated, because I feel like that number of people could just come up with some really not so good plans.
Oh, yeah, that'd be quite a television show.
Yeah.
I think they're all in, like, solitary.
I don't know.
I don't think they're mingling much.
I hope not.
Yeah, you would really... I feel like if they were, we would have heard about that by now. There would have been some sort of attempted, I don't know, prison escape or...
plotting.
Some other terrible thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently Supermax prison, so hopefully they wouldn't be able to escape. Anyway... and I mean, I don't know, how far is Colorado from here? We probably have some distance, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay. There are questions about the jurors, but those questions are not unprecedented. There is a rise with, you know, the rise of online access to social media with like Twitter and Facebook, etc. Also with like email and texting and like really anything like blogs and other forms of communication, there has been a rise of the issue of juror misconduct and prompted questions about whether judges are able to prevent such legal problems. Because even like in such a high profile case, a judge saying don't do it and they still did. That's hard to say that a judge could really prevent that from happening. Unless it's like high school where they just like take your phone and put it in a basket.
Well, I think they'd have to. I mean, like for longer trials where they're sequestered, I think they take the TVs out of your room and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, you're like not allowed to talk to anyone about the case. But I guess with cell phones and the internet, it's hard to restrict.
Yeah,
you know?
They'd have to take your phone.
Like, could they just tell someone, like, even after the trial, when you go back to your hotel room, you can't go on the internet? Like, I doubt they could ever tell you that. What are you supposed to do? Like, read?
You're asking the wrong woman that question.
I'm just saying.
Yes, you should read.
They could read newspaper about the case.
That's true.
But I don't know how they're going to prevent that from happening. A 2010 legal report found that judges granted new trials or overturned verdicts in 28 criminal and civil cases dating back to 2009. Judges found some internet-related problems involving jurors in roughly 75% of cases in which they did not take the drastic step of declaring mistrials.
Wow.
So it's on the rise, and that is not good. People should really stay off social media if they're jurors.
Yeah.
You don't want your opinion swayed like that. But anyway, use your best judgment. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to share some social media news stories. The next one is, this is not necessarily bad decisions. I mean, it's kind of a bad decision, but it's kind of about getting lost. Specifically lost in a city. Oh, yeah, me too. however, this is about a hawk.
Which
neither of us are. But, you know, we can share about getting lost and confused in a city. What happened was social media helped an injured bird because apparently Madeline Weatherhead was walking through downtown Manhattan in New York City when she saw an adult female raptor. I don't know how she would know that it was a female at the time, but a raptor.
Coloring.
Oh, you're right. I guess I wouldn't be able to recognize that it's a male or female hawk.
Well, males usually have the brighter coloring. So if she was like, but I mean, raptors, I feel like, have more drab coloring anyway, but whatever. Maybe she's just a bird expert.
Potentially. Or she asked someone. I don't know. But she saw this bird sitting on the sidewalk in front of a restaurant, which is a very strange place to find a bird, just in New York City on the sidewalk looking at a restaurant.
Unless it's a pigeon, but yeah, well, a raptor, true. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it just wanted to go in. Just wasn't waiting for its reservation. I'm not sure. The bird, Weatherhead said, the bird looked disoriented. It was just staring off and wasn't even paying attention to the fact that there were people really close to it. She spoke to the restaurant staffers. They said that they believed the bird had become stunned from flying into the window, which is sad and happens all the time to birds. Yeah.
Keep your window slightly dirty, people.
Or you could put, they have like those stickers.
Decals, yeah.
Yeah, to put in like to make sure the bird, like it looks like a shadow of a bigger bird. Granted, it's a raptor. I don't know if that would really...
Right.
Make a difference, but potentially, I mean, they could have tried. But luckily the bird didn't die. It just was like stunned and standing on the sidewalk. Like a lot of people who probably visit New York. Just stunned and standing on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
So apparently Madeline called the Animal Care Center of New York City only to have the line go straight to voicemail. She didn't want to leave the raptor on the sidewalk, which that's very good of her. She snapped a photo and posted it on social media asking for help. I guess a lot of viewers responded and they had suggestions for various animal rescue organizations in New York. The Wild Bird Fund retweeted the photo and tagged the NYPD's First Precinct police officers. And shortly after the Wild Bird Fund retweeted the photo, officers Maxwell Outson and Joseph Balomo arrived on the scene with an animal crate and a rescue kit. And they managed to wrap up the injured bird in a blanket and put it into the crate and then transferred it to the Wild Bird Fund facility. And there's some fun pictures of them posed next to the bird. You can see them trying to get the bird into the crate, which kind of looks like a dog kennel. Yeah. But the bird is clearly confused about, like, it's just looking at them, like not sure what's going on. But clearly it was stunned because it wasn't going away. And they were able to get it inside the cage, which... good for them. And the police look pretty proud of themselves.
Yeah, they do.
So that's good. Rescuers say that the red-tailed hawk was likely injured, apparently in an aerial fight with another raptor.
Oh, dear.
So I maybe got into a fight and then hit the window or something, or just got into the fight and landed there and wasn't able to leave.
Yeah.
Which, that's pretty, yeah, that is dramatic. The red-tailed hawk is recovering from its injuries, and if its health fails to improve, the rescuers say that it will be transported to the Raptor Trust in New Jersey.
Oh, I hope its health does not fail to improve. Go, little raptor, you can do it.
I hope that it can heal and not be, I don't know, that it can be free.
Yes.
To go about its life and have more aerial fights. Which sounds pretty cool.
Well, I don't know about that.
True. Maybe,
seems dangerous.
Maybe it should avoid it. Maybe it's scarred, yeah. But, well, it's probably scarred. Yeah. But, you know, to avoid.
I understand.
Thank you. Okay, going on to our next story. Ah, this is just another one about bad decisions. Or at least, I guess maybe bad behavior and bad choices. This is about some hackers.
Okay.
And these hackers took control of a Tampa mayor's Twitter account and announced an airport bomb threat.
Oh, come on, guys.
Not good. Not good.
And I say guys in just a general sense. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Folks.
Good call. You all.
Right.
According to police, a hacker took control of Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn's Twitter account on Thursday and spewed racist slurs and apparently posted child pornography and made a bomb threat.
Come on.
I know. That's terrible. Ugh. That's worse than just, I don't know, saying mean things. Apparently, Buckhorn, who is the mayor, the Twitter feed has more than 50,000 followers. All of his tweets were later removed, though, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah.
And then I have a quote here from the city officials, their Twitter page. It said, "Earlier this morning, we noticed someone hacked Mayor Buckhorn's Twitter account. This was clearly not Mayor Buckhorn." I would hope not.
Yeah.
"Upon noticing the hack, we immediately began investigating these reprehensible tweets." I mean, yeah, I would hope they would look into that because that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I guess they wiped all of the tweets. It sounded like not just the ones that were super bad, but also like maybe other things that he had tweeted. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
that
just
he himself had tweeted?
Potentially.
Oh, interesting.
I think they didn't specify, so maybe just like a clean slate. I don't know. The Tampa police are investigating, and city officials urged residents to take routine safety measures such as changing passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, especially if you're in public office. Please change your passwords. You're definitely a target.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I should probably change my password more.
yeah, that
now that I'm
me.
Reading this, yeah. Like, I should probably do that.
It's so important you wrote it twice.
It's very important. I am concerned. I mean, well, I'm concerned about my... I don't think I was thinking of a target as like a mayor.
Right.
But
I don't think anybody wants to hack my Twitter.
No.
I can't remember the last time I tweeted.
I don't even have a Twitter. They don't want to hack mine.
No.
It doesn't exist.
If they did, you'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I know that's not me.
You guys made me a Twitter?
Yeah, exactly.
You made me a Twitter and started tweeting bad things?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a commitment. Lot of work. So the mayor's Twitter account, it was seized at around 4 a.m., apparently, according to news reports. And I guess there was like a post that said, it said, oh God, this is stupid. It said who they were hacked by.
Jeez.
So it said like hacked by, and then it gave all of the accounts.
One of which is at sheepkiller69. I mean, so you can pretty much tell the level of.
Yeah. Wow. The maturity.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
One of them is Mizoid. Another one. How would I even say that?
I don't even know.
Something swag.
Oh,
yeah, anyway. And SheepKiller69, and they said, you can't touch us, and then followed by a racial slur. Oh, gosh. I guess the hackers claim to have planted a bomb at Tampa International Airport. It said, this was them posing as the mayor. I guess it referred to the airport, like, fly Tampa. I have hidden a bomb in a package somewhere at the Tampa International Airport. Oh, God. Looking forward to seeing some minorities die.
Jeez, people.
That's terrible. Officials said the threat wasn't credible, but they had still taken appropriate action to ensure passengers' safety.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, also, hackers posting their names. I mean, they're probably not easily tracked back to those accounts, I would assume.
I would assume, unless they're really, really stupid.
Yeah, really dumb. I mean, that's... I guess they're hackers. I would assume they can't be that dumb, but like, that's also kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know really why you would do that because I can still track you down somehow. But,
well, I hope
you
so.
Know. Yeah, well, I'm sure. And they're going to take appropriate measures, I'm sure, to make sure that doesn't happen again. And I wouldn't be surprised if the mayor just left Twitter, to be honest.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, I kind of maybe would. I mean, I'm not on Twitter, so I've obviously left. But
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. Good luck to the police trying to track that down. And I feel bad for the mayor. I don't know anything else about him besides that.
Me either.
So, good luck. Our next story is about Facebook. And I've obviously talked a lot about Facebook on this podcast. It is related to a recent ban that they had for several groups that were on Facebook. I also feel like Facebook has come into the news so much because of things that they either are or are not doing, like not taking care of privacy of people, versus like, you know, maybe they're not watching the privacy of certain groups, as I talked about on a previous episode, but then they're also not taking appropriate action against those who may be not great forces on social media. And they've really been accused of both, from either banning people or not banning people. I feel like Facebook has made many mistakes. Apparently, Facebook has targeted dangerous armed groups in a latest of bans with groups that are in Myanmar. They have banned four insurgent groups that have been fighting against the Myanmar military from Facebook, and they said that it was to prevent offline harm by removing groups it branded dangerous organizations, which, yeah, probably a good idea. The social media giant has said that it removed hundreds of accounts, pages, and groups for a link to Myanmar's military or misrepresentation since last August. Interesting. The action came after Facebook was criticized for not doing enough to prevent violent and hate-filled content spreading on its platform. Also, the hate spreading grew very popular in Myanmar just as conflicts in the country escalated. Which makes sense. I mean, I feel like social media can really be like the pulse of events going on. And if you feel like, I could see that, like, it follows a violent attack or some sort of violent action.
Right.
You could see like the Facebook energy turning in that way, you know, especially in these groups or in a lot of these accounts. They banned a lot of people's personal accounts. So
it
feels like they were tracking, they were potentially tracking it and then didn't do anything until August, which
now I just feel like I need to go figure out what's going on in Myanmar that I don't know enough about.
Yeah, I mean, apparently a lot.
Yeah.
But hopefully not as much on Facebook anymore. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the story of Facebook, which had banned several dangerous groups or dangerous individuals who are from Myanmar. So some of the groups that they banned the Arakan Army, the Myanmar National Democratic Alliance Army, the Kachin Independence Army, and the Tanang National Liberation Army. Facebook said in a statement that they wanted to remove praise, support, and representation of the groups. This was in an effort to prevent and disrupt offline harm, and they don't want to allow organizations or individuals that proclaim a violent message to engage in violence to have a presence on Facebook. Which, I mean, that's a pretty fair statement.
Yeah.
Good for them to try and take care of that.
Interesting.
Yep.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good that they're doing it. The bans have targeted only some of the ethnic minority insurgent groups in Myanmar that have battled for autonomy. And apparently the conflicts have raged on and off since shortly after Myanmar's independence from Britain in 1948. The four groups named by Facebook have not signed a government-led ceasefire agreement and have frequently clashed with armed forces in recent years. One group, the Kachin Independence Army, is one of the strongest of the country's insurgent groups and occupies territory in the north. So there's been lots of violence related to those groups.
Yeah.
Facebook said there was clear evidence that these organizations have been responsible for attacks against civilians and have engaged in violence in Myanmar, and we want to prevent them from using our services to further inflame tensions on the ground.
What an interesting way to fight a war.
I know.
Or a conflict or whatever you would call this, you know?
Yeah. I mean a lot of social changing. Yeah, a lot of movements are connected to social media.
Yeah.
Like the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
Some accounts related to Myanmar's armed forces were first removed last August after a UN fact-finding mission called for top Myanmar generals to be prosecuted for what it said was a campaign of mass killings and gang rape against the Rohingya Muslim minority. And apparently it was carried out with genocidal intent. So that's not uplifting.
No.
The military led a crackdown on Myanmar's Rakhine State in response to attacks by insurgents, and it pushed more than 730,000 of the Rohingya neighboring Bangladesh.
Wow!
So there's been a lot of pressure from all different sides. I feel like Facebook has been feeling a lot of that pressure to make a decision, to make a move, to do something, to ban groups or just to stop violence on social media related to the groups and related to Myanmar. Also, there was a special report in August that found that Facebook failed to promptly heed the numerous warnings from organizations in Myanmar about social media posts fueling attacks on minority groups.
Wow.
So I guess multiple reports saying that they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I also think potentially Facebook wanted to avoid getting into a very messy ethnic and political conflict.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there are a lot of different sides, and depending on who they were going with, you know?
All right. Well, and there's so many. I mean, you know, we've never encountered stuff like this before. It's all kind of new territory in terms of how do you deal with all of these new things we're coming up against on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's good that Facebook did something, but yeah, it's a complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next social media news podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.